It's time now for Let's Talk Mental Health, a safe place for dialogue about mental illness and mental health. Sponsored by Steve Bacon Family Counseling.
Families are so important. Sometimes when everyone else is letting us down, our families are who hold us up. And no matter how much love you have in that family, there are always issues that arise. Feelings get hurt, miscommunication wreaks havoc, and tensions can rise. It doesn't mean you don't love your family any less, but it does mean you should probably talk it out. Call my dad at Steve Bacon Family Counseling to find out how he can help. 360-683-9089.
Here's Pepper Fisher.
We're back today on the Let's Talk Mental Health podcast with Joe Rice, Medical Director of Peninsula Behavioral Health. Joe, I'd like to talk about a topic that's been in the news a lot lately. It's hard to miss, and that's the medication-assisted treatment for opioid abuse.
Well, thanks, Pepper. And I know you've done a lot of great reporting on this topic, so I'm also interested in getting your take on this subject.
So I guess my first question is, where are we in our understanding of treatments for opioid abuse?
So over the past 4 or 5 years, the opioid epidemic in the U.S. has led to a lot of rethinking about how to deal with addictions. Historically, the United States has held to an abstinence-only model for substance use and addictions, but this has been changing as we've seen that for many people who suffer from opioid addictions, this just-say-no approach just simply doesn't work. And with so many people dying from drug overdoses, tens of thousands a year, and hundreds of thousands more expected to die in the next decade, many communities are now considering how its response to addiction can be better addressed.
The standards, until recently anyway, in this field are 12-step programs which combine spiritual, moralistic ideals into a support group for people suffering from addiction. Now, I know there are some 12-step programs that allow medication-assisted treatment, but many others prohibit it as part of their demand for total abstinence. The research is showing us this is a particularly bad idea for opioids, for which medications are considered the standard of care. Is that right?
That is right. Various studies find that medication-assisted treatment is an extremely effective treatment for opioid addiction and can even cut the mortality rate among addiction patients by more than half. And just imagine if a medication came out for any other disease that cuts the number of deaths attributed to that disease by half, that would be considered a miraculous discovery. And that's why the biggest public health organizations, including the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the National Institutes of Drug Abuse, and the World Health Organization, all acknowledge medication-assisted treatment's medical value.
Okay, I've been reading a lot about the various medications used in opioid treatment. It seems like there are a few medications out there. Some work better or worse, depending on the person's circumstances, right?
Yeah, there's really only three medications we're talking about here, and I'll go over those now. Like methadone, which is only administered in a certified opioid treatment program, typically prescribed 1 to 4 times per day. And that means that patients have to come and make a trip into the clinic on a fairly regular basis. Buprenorphine, which is a take-home drug that's taken once or twice a day. And the extended-release naltrexone, or its brand name, Vivitrol. This medication isn't an opioid, making it less prone to misuse, and only needs to be injected once per month.
Really, once a month?
Yep. But it also requires full detoxification to use, so usually 3 to 10 days of no opioid use, while buprenorphine only requires a partial detoxification process, usually maybe a little over 12 hours. And some patients may prefer not to take any medications because they see any drug use whatsoever as getting in the way of their recovery, in which case total abstinence may be the right answer for them. And others may not respond well physically to the medications, or the medications may, for whatever reason, fail to keep them from misusing drugs.
Okay, there's a lot of misinformation out there. How do these medications actually work to treat opioid addiction?
Well, that's a great question, and each medication kind of acts differently in the brain. Methadone is considered a full agonist medication. In other words, when taken, it binds to and activates the exact same receptors in the brain as the opioids, essentially doing the same thing in the system as an opioid would. However, because it's long-acting, it provides steady blood levels, which avoid the reward or euphoria experienced with the opioids. It also avoids the withdrawal or the cravings due to low blood levels. It is the steady state of blood levels that makes this medication so effective as treatment. Keep in mind that a heroin or pain pill addict spends their life either high, normal, or sick. They must obtain a new dose several times throughout the day, and so they waver back and forth along the continuum of this high, normal, sick. They wake up feeling sick in the morning, followed by a quick boost up to the high category and when they take their first dose, and they go up and down throughout the course of the day. Since methadone lasts for at least 24 hours in the system, a person on methadone therapy wakes up still feeling the normal range from their dose the day before. Soon after waking up, they take a dose regulated by a physician, and so it maintains their feeling of equilibrium without sending them into a state of being high or low.
Okay, I've heard you can stay on methadone for a couple of years and then you're off, or it can go on forever. What are the facts here?
Well, that's true. Some people do stay on methadone forever, and others are able to wean off over time. It depends upon the individual. The point here is that people taking methadone could lead normal, productive lives. They often work, raise families, and contribute to their communities.
All right, now what's the other one you mentioned? Buprenorphine? Am I saying that right?
Buprenorphine?
Buprenorphine. How does that work?
Buprenorphine is a unique medication. It's a partial agonist, so again, it activates the opioid receptors in the brain, but to a much lesser degree than the full agonist like methadone. It's also an antagonist, meaning that it blocks other opioids while allowing for some opioid effect of its own to suppress those withdrawal symptoms and cravings. Like methadone, it's a 24-hour medication that works by leveling off blood levels and avoiding both the euphoria and the cravings. But unlike methadone, buprenorphine can be taken home by the individual, so they don't need to be seen every day. And this helps people maintain employment and other activities.
So how often does the person taking buprenorphine need to be seen?
Initially every week, but that can be adjusted based on the course of the treatment.
You also talked about naltrexone and Vivitrol injection. How does that medication work?
Yeah, this is the full antagonist medication. In other words, when this medication is administered, it binds to the receptor sites in the brain and it fully blocks all the opioid reward effects. This medication is given as a monthly injection. The medication cannot be used for withdrawal, but only for treatment. As I mentioned earlier, the individual has to be typically 3 to 10 days through the withdrawal phase before naltrexone can be given. It's probably best to think of naltrexone or Vivitrol as a medication to prevent relapse to opioid dependence after detox. And to be effective, it must also be used with other alcohol or drug recovery programs, such as counseling.
From what I've heard recently, these are the types of medications that will be prescribed at the new healing center, planned for SQUIM. Is that right?
Yeah, I haven't seen the specifics of their medication treatment planning, but I can't imagine they wouldn't be using these three medications, along with other medications, of course. I think the important part here, though, is that the facility planned for SQUIM is taking a much more holistic approach to medication-assisted treatment. They're going to be providing therapy services and other wraparound services like job training and addressing food and housing insecurity issues. And this type of recovery plan makes the treatment much more effective.
Okay, we all know there's a lot of opposition to this facility in SQUIM.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way, at least from the recent city council meetings and some of the social media posts I've been reading.
This is not uncommon, though. A lot of communities feel threatened by a treatment facility like this being opened in their own backyard.
Yep, absolutely, and I can see both sides of that debate. There are a lot of unanswered questions and fears about how the facility will change the makeup of the town.
I can understand those concerns. People want to keep our communities clean and safe, and we all have a lot to fear, I guess, about how things are changing.
Yeah, I can also understand where those feelings come from. I can also understand those people who say that there is an opioid problem in our area and that providing evidence-based, compassionate care is the only answer to this epidemic. These people also genuinely want to take care of their community, and they see that providing this type of treatment locally is the best way to prevent some of the destruction that comes with addictions.
Well, obviously nobody wants SQUIM, Port Angeles, or Port Townsend to have the same problems that Seattle has, say, with homelessness and crime, but it seems to me that having the Healing Center here actually lets us proactively tackle some of the issues.
Well, like I said, I can see both sides of the issue, but in the end, for me, I guess it comes down to the fact that there is a huge need for this type of treatment. By providing these medications here, we will be able to alleviate some of the symptoms associated with heroin and opiates use that lead to some of the homelessness and criminal behavior, and that has to be a good thing, right?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, Joe, thanks for today. I'm sure we kicked the hornet's nest to some degree, but I think that learning more about the medications used in medication-assisted treatment can only be helpful. Thanks for coming in.
Pepper, thanks for having me. I look forward to talking again soon.